Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. In the studio with me this morning, I was thinking this morning, is it the brains or the brawn or the boys behind Bleeding Heart Brewery, right?
Zach Mustache and muscles.
A little bit of both, yeah.
Okay, so I've got Zach and Stefan in the studio with me this morning, and we're going to jump into all sorts of discussions about Bleeding Heart Brewery, but I always like to start with background information about my guests, and I always ask my guests, tell me your Alaska story and how you're connected to agriculture. So who wants to start?
I'll let the big guy start.
Oh, awesome. your agricultural story is a lot better than mine, though.
Which is why I'm going to go last.
Yeah,
that best for last.
Yeah, that's a good decision. I was, you know, as far as being in the valley, I was raised here locally. I lived on Grover Lane for 14 years and spend most of my days playing out there in West Grover's pasture and spending time with the cows and the horses and playing in the pond. And I did not grow up with a farm life. My father did, and kind of instilled those work ethic and those ideas of, like, you know, you get up and you work and you
sure.
work until your hands are dirty and then you go clean them, go to supper and go to bed. But we then moved from Grover Lane out to Buffalo Mine Road, where we have a 80-acre parcel.
Okay.
And we built that from nothing, and that's about as involved in agriculture as I was as a kid. I worked for Vanderwheels. I mean, what kid doesn't work for Vanderwheels?
Oh, there you go.
Dig potatoes.
And is that what made you not want to be a farmer?
No. That was the most involved, was working for Mr. Vanderwheel. And I was like, God, you guys do this like all the time? This is nuts.
Well, I don't think hard. They sleep.
I don't. Right. Yeah. They're super people.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into how I think obviously the brewery is related to agriculture too, but that's good background. Stefan, what about you?
I was talking background.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's okay.
Am I up? Is that my cue?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. My family is one of the, I guess, like the second wave of the colonial folks that came up here from the Midwest.
Okay.
They came up in, I believe it was 38 or 39, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Got a big old chunk of land out on the Springer system and started farming that. It was originally a dairy farm. My great grandpa owned it. Just kind of stayed in the family since then. Excuse me. My parents bought it when I was, I think, 5 or 6.
Okay.
And then we moved out there from Big Lake and started kind of an Angus farm sort of deal.
Yeah.
Always had chickens and horses and pigs and that sort of thing. And we were, you know, we always had to take care of them as parts of our chores. And, well, I'm too quiet. That's a first.
It's early.
It is early. not only that, but we also had a fairly large garden at the house as well. We tried to be as self-sustaining as possible.
Sure.
So, I don't think I ever bought eggs or meat until I moved out of the house.
Right. Yeah.
So
the location of the brewery, is that on your family's original property?
It is, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Very good. I've always wondered about that, what the connection was, because it's not the most ideal location or, you know, I mean... It's amongst other things, right?
Right?
And sometimes hard to find. So I always figured there was a familial connection there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're coming to the brewery, it's because you want to come to the brewery. You don't just drive by and go, oh, there's a thing over here.
Right.
You come with the intent to drink beer.
Absolutely.
But even though it's kind of like weird and out of the way, people seem to like the whole vibe that we've got going on there, hanging out with the chickens in the tasting room. And,
very much so.
Which have become like attack chickens now. They're uh-oh. Getting used to getting pretzels. And
oh,
so
okay.
Jumping up on tables and whatnot. Yeah. It's a great thing to see.
Do you need a specific hashtag for the chickens at the brewery?
We really should.
Because there's a lot of pictures on social media of the chickens at your brewery. So you need to think about that. I'm surprised you guys don't have that yet.
Yeah, Zach.
Is that a hashtag?
Ooh.
Oh, right there.
Hashtag. Look at that. Yeah, there you go. Smart guy.
All right, let's jump right into some of the specifics of the brewery, Bleeding Heart Brewery. Let's start there. What is that name about?
Well, originally, when was it? When I was like 20, probably. Yeah. So like 5 years ago now. I was dating this girl, and she broke my heart. It's probably my fault that we broke up. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Anyway,
we could probably ask her on the phone.
Anyway, so we broke up and my heart was broken. And I was at the time hanging out with Zach and brewing here and there. And I was like, you know what, Zach, why don't we make a brewery and call it Bleeding Heart? And all of our beer names will be depressing and, and blah, blah, blah. And without, you know, missing a beat, he texts me back and he's like, yes, absolutely. Let's do that. It's like, oh, I thought we were joking. But yeah, sure. Let's give that a shot.
So started rattling off all kinds of, you know, quippy names that we use now. Grounds for Divorce Coffee Porter and Cold Shoulder Crystal Weizen. And we had a litany just back and forth, back and forth of somewhat satirical and like a little depressing names.
They were real, but they all
have stemmed from some sort of story or background or
life experience.
Yeah. Okay. The name Bleeding Heart, here in Alaska, we tend to name everything after something Alaskan. Yep. So breweries are named after the state or a mountain range or a river or a city or a lake.
Which is great, if that's what you're into.
Which is awesome. Yeah. That's cool.
Talking crap great. About those breweries.
That's I wasn't. The point is that we try to base our existence and the beer we create based on the human experience, not simply something that can resonate because, oh, I know where Pioneer Peak is.
Sure.
We've all experienced pain. We've all experienced heartbreak. We've all experienced life.
Yeah.
And so our entire niche is essentially the human experience itself.
Nice.
So,
Niche. Yeah, I'm not really sure about that one.
I know it's not nice.
Niche. Okay. Anyway.
So, did one of you have visions of being a brewer, or was this literally just we like to brew beer, we like to drink beer?
Yeah.
Hey, let's do this.
I actually I had been home brewing for 5 years or so before him and I started talking, and with a local family man here, who's also involved in the Springer and all that. And him and I had been brewing for a long time, and we had talked about like, hey, it would be really neat to eventually have a brewery. But I mean, with his life and where he's at and all the things he was doing, it really was just like, hey, that would be a really neat idea. We talked about having the old powerhouse and renovating the powerhouse and turning it into a brewery and all these ideas. And that for me, I didn't really have any dreams. I didn't really have any like, oh, I want to do this someday.
Yeah. It was just kind of, that would be cool.
It was just like, oh, hey, this would be really neat. And, anyway, when him and I started hanging out brewing, the beers he started making were way better than the stuff I was making. Considerably better.
They were cooking hot dogs over the boil and letting it fall in. And oh, it's sterile. It'll boil.
Well, you can drive a hot dog in there. It'll boil.
Oh, a mouse got into the grains. No. We'll boil it. No big deal.
Okay. One time. And I don't know if there was actually a mouse in the grain. There was just a little mouse poop in
remnants.
The grain. Well, that boiled out.
Okay.
It had a mouse bouquet.
So once we started brewing together, and we of course kind of went along the same lines. Hey, it'd be really neat. What if we did this? But we started having friends of ours ask us, hey, could you make this beer for me? Okay. Hey, can you make this beer for me? And I'll pay for the ingredients. I just need you. This is the kind of beer I would really like. And we just kept making them and they were turning out well. And so it was my wife and our friends that were like, if you don't do this, you're stupid.
Yeah.
Like, you need to.
And then Stefan got his heart broke.
That's what really
pushed it through. Yeah. You know, got to have something to be creative. for yeah. him, you know?
Actually, every couple of years, we try to break his heart mm-hmm. and then really spurs forward that
yeah.
creative
yeah.
process.
So okay. he's actually, he's in control of all the girls time. That I yeah. date, that I'm, but I'm not aware of it. So
it's strategy yeah. all
yeah, so, yeah, every once in a while, they're like, hey, you're going to have to break up with Stefan now. Sorry.
Yeah. We it, need him
we
to get...
We need him now.
Yeah. It works.
Yeah. Well, hey, I want to remind listeners that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your guest, Amy Pettit. And in the studio with me this morning, I've got Zach and Stefan from Bleeding Heart Brewery. And eventually we're going to get to how that connects to agriculture in the valley, because that is what this show is about. So thanks for, yeah. Well, listen, I wanted to have you guys on the show for quite some time. I can't even remember when Zach and I talked quite some time ago, and I said, hey, and you know, but you guys have real jobs, right? And scheduling is sometimes difficult, and being in Palmer at 7:30 in the morning is not always allowable. So, but I can't remember what the catalyst was. I think we were serving your beer at one of our events. And so, was that it?
I think it was the Oktoberfest.
Was mm-hmm. it? I think it was. Oktoberfest?
Yeah, yeah. So it was like 2 years, a year and a half ago.
Well, I haven't been on the radio that long. So, but it could have been before last year's Oktoberfest. That might make sense. Or anyway, regardless, I'm glad you're in the studio now. And to that point, you guys have been great supporters of Farmland Trust's events. And I was kind of thinking of the connection this morning between food and agriculture and beer and the work that I do. And actually, someone challenged me about it yesterday. They said, you know, what is this whole drink beer, save farms thing, Amy? Like, I don't really get it. What does that have to do with land conservation?
And you were like, shut up.
Drink beer, yeah. save farms. Yeah. Right? Self-explanatory.
I don't
get
understand
on the program.
What you don't get, but no. The real thing is that the work that we do at Farmland Trust is kind of complicated and legal and very difficult to explain to the layperson. But everyone understands food, good food, mm-hmm. and most everyone understands good beer or alcohol. And so if you can connect with people on that level and then say, hey, this is what drinking beer and saving farms is all about, it just kind of works.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sometime you'll have to actually tell me how more because I wear that hat all the time and people ask me
yeah.
and I have my own answer. I and it makes sense to them and yeah. in my brain it's how I thought it worked.
But if what you, if you're what saying it? It's a lot more complicated than that.
What do you say?
I don't want to say it now and then tell everybody the wrong thing, but
well,
I mean, I just nobody it's all a mystery apparently.
Well, let me throw this at you. And this is
give
a,
me some talking points.
Well, no, I'm gonna circumvent that. We'll come back to it. But this is an unfair question. But where does the majority of the barley used, not just by your brewery, but across the state, where does the majority of the barley come from? Do we know? Is there a generalization that we can say it comes from Canada or it comes
yeah,
from...
Yeah, a lot of well, it's a couple major spots. Excuse me. It comes from British Columbia, the general like northwest of America, and okay. then also a lot of it comes from Germany still.
Really?
Yeah, Germany okay. and Belgium still produce quite a bit of barley and wheat. Yeah.
Okay. Because mm-hmm. there was this gentleman in my office yesterday, and I mentioned the show to him. Maybe he's listening. If you are, good morning, Ben. But he was talking, he works in the Pacific Northwest, and he said that the Idaho Barley Commission, that their slogan is no barley, no beer. And I was like, because he really liked the drink beer, safe farms thing. He bought
totally.
A t-shirt, you know, and he's like, I really like that. And he goes, but, and then he was like, but how does that, you know, tell me how that works. And then he told me about the Idaho Barley Commission, and I was like, I said, well, I wonder how much of the barley in Alaska being used in the brewing industry is coming from.
None of it.
None of it's coming from Idaho.
Zero.
But we're from Idaho?
Oh, yeah. Oh, from Idaho?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant from Alaska.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah.
From Idaho. Because I'm thinking of a partnership.
Gotcha.
A marketing, a fundraiser.
There could be. I mean, I don't know specifically. So we go through a large,
okay.
A grain dealer.
Yeah.
We hide out back in alleys.
And, yeah.
Can I get a 40 of that 40 grain?
Yeah. Give
me that
55 cent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway. Yeah. But we've actually been speaking with a few people about getting some Alaskan grown grain
yeah.
into our beers.
They're trying,
recently.
Right?
Yeah. So the issue is that there's no malteries up here because
right.
I mean you grow the grain and that's all fine and good.
Yep.
But in order for it to be usable in beer, it has to be malted, which is a sprouting and drying and kilning process.
Yeah.
And then the sugars are available to be fermented.
Right.
But no one knows how to do that. So
right.
We're working
opportunity.
On that.
So we're,
yeah,
it's
what I'm saying.
Would be a huge opportunity for
It'd
someone else
giant.
To get involved in the industry, right?
Oh, I think that if someone started doing that professionally, they wouldn't be able to keep grain in their silos.
Yeah.
All they would have to do is the basics too.
Two row and wheat, and then and they would not be able
they
to keep it.
Yeah. We would.
I was telling this these folks too that you guys did use Alaska grown hops once, right? From Mike.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Mike used to be on my board at Farmland Trust.
Oh, gotcha.
And
cool.
I've been involved in the peony project for a long time.
Yeah. So. Oh, I love those guys.
Yeah.
Mike and Paula.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, Eagle Song has provided hops for us in the past, and when I connect with them, they normally bring me a big sack of hops grown down there, and we've thrown them in beers, and there's only a certain few hops that grow up here, if I understand correctly, right?
Yeah, ones that grow in more obviously cooler climates can survive up here pretty well, so
yeah.
I think they do Willamette and East Kent Golding.
Yeah.
And I've heard that it has also something to do with our long daylight days, that it hops need darkness. Is that
right.
true?
Right. So, I mean, with any flowering plant like that, you need to have some sort of blackout period to signify, hey, plant, it's fall now.
Okay.
Make the stuff. And, you know, that's the technical term.
Agricultural terms over
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Way to bring
science.
It around.
I'm pretty,
impressive.
I'm pretty good at this.
I hope my agronomist friend is listening because he's going to love that. Make the stuff.
Make the stuff. And then, but we don't have that. It's just friggin' light all the time. And
yeah.
so they're just like, hey, let's keep making green stuff. And anyway.
So we do try to use as many Alaska grown products as possible and as adjunct ingredients. So.
Right.
I imagine you were getting.
Please.
Okay.
Yes.
So
hard. Wow,
Zach. We go ahead and start running the interview.
Well, yeah, I'm a bulldozer. That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So our beets, for our beet IPA, it was one of the ideas that we had when we had first started brewing was some have a red beer, and so it was like, well, what can we use to make it red? So beets. And so we've figured out the best time to. I mean, how much to use and the best time to include it in the brewing process. And so our beets are grown locally. We're getting them from Black Bear Farms that we end up getting at the Friday Fling or Alex Davis up on Lazy Mountain with his organic farm. We've gotten them always from a local farmer here in the Valley. And so our carrots have come, we've made beers with carrots and we normally get them from Vanderweil.
I haven't had your carrot beer.
We had Purple Heart Schmurple Heart
that
we made with purple carrots from Alex Davis. And then we did
a zucchini bread beer.
Zucchini bread beer.
And we just did a collaboration with Seward Brewing Company with Vanderweil Pike potatoes. That's the ones they grow for the potato chips there.
Yeah.
And we did a chowder stout with them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so it's got the roasted potatoes and then Seward farmed oysters.
In it. Little salt,
oh
little
my
soil.
Goodness.
Yeah.
So where can you get that? Or was
at
it a
our
special
place
run?
Here in another
Oh, it's still
three?
Fermenting actually.
Oh.
We just brewed it a week and a half ago. So
well, that's incredible.
Yeah.
You need to let me know when it's available and Mr. Vanderweil and I will come have a drink.
Oh yeah. They're definitely gonna get a couple bottles.
Very
for sure.
good.
Yeah. Well,
one more time, I want to remind listeners that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your guest. I'm your host.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
I'm the guest of the Bleeding Heart Brewery Boys this morning. No, Zach and Stefan are here in the studio with me this morning, and we're connecting beer and agriculture slowly, right?
Slowly. Yeah.
We're doing our way. We're getting there.
So you might be surprised. I'm always surprised by how quickly this half hour goes. We're 2/3 of the way through the show, so
Oh, wow.
We should make sure we give some people some good details about how they can find out more about the brewery, where the brewery is located, what's your next event, et cetera. So jump into some of that for us.
Well, we're located at 16013 East Outer Springer Loop, which is, you know, just past the golf course on the Springer system.
Across from the Tiny DePriest Farm.
Yep.
Yes.
We're open Thursday through Sunday at varying hours. You can just pretty much Google us and it'll pop up.
We're on Facebook, you know, facebook.com/Bleeding Heart Brewery. Our hours are there. Our phone number is 746-2421.
BHB1.
BHB1.
And it rings to a phone booth sitting inside the brewery. And we have an answering machine. So.
Oh, very good.
We'll return your call momentarily.
Very good. It's coming into, I hate to say it, but it certainly looks like it this morning and feels like it's kind of fall is on the horizon, right?
It's August.
Yeah, it is. It was rainy and cold as I drove off the mountain this morning and I thought, no, it's not the fair yet.
It's super close though.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. But fall's kind of, it feels like fall is festival and beer time. So tell me about some of the events that you guys will be at in the fall and beer time.
I actually don't know.
So we'll be part of the Alaska State Fair is doing for the first time an event called Cheers and Beers, I believe it's called.
Before the Aaron Watson concert.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm glad you know that.
Yes. Yeah.
I briefly read an email and
Tuesday.
Said, yes, we'll, yeah,
this,
tell
this
us
like
more.
The first time I'm hearing about
I think
about
it's Tuesday the 29th.
So, okay. Maybe. Sweet. Right on. I'll make sure we have beer.
So, I said yes. So, yeah,
cool.
We just need beer now.
I'm glad you said yes. Yeah.
So, we're just working out the details, Sherry and I. Additionally, we'll obviously be at the Mighty Matanuska Boo Festival, I think is what they call it now.
And the Oktoberfest.
And the Oktoberfest. We'll still, we bring back Oktoberweizen.
Good.
So, we'll have a keg of that over there for Mark and,
very good.
And you guys.
Yeah. Just since you mentioned it, I mean, I guess it is my show, so I can shamelessly promote whatever I want to.
Heck yeah.
Oktoberfest is Saturday, October 7th this year. And I will let listeners know that tickets are actually moving fairly fast. Mark and I decided this year to have a VIP tent, and the VIP tickets are over halfway gone. So if you are interested in being in the VIP corner, get your ticket soon. Yeah. Yeah. That's where the cool people are going to
be. Can we get VIP passes?
We better figure out how to be VIPs.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can find a link to ticket sales on both Mark and I's websites, on the Facebook page, and at brownpaperticket.com. Just look for Oktoberfest. So enough about that.
Yeah, this will be the third year.
Oktoberfest.
And third Oktoberweizen.
Oh, yeah.
It is officially a seasonal beer.
Yeah.
So. As long as you guys keep doing the event, we'll keep doing the beer.
You know, it's...
I say confidently.
No, it's actually one of my favorite beers to do.
Yeah, and it's delicious.
Thank you.
And we once talked, and this might have been over too many beers, so this might have just been beer talk, but we once talked about getting some dander or something from one of the muskos.
Oh, yeah. Harvesting yeast from up there?
Yes.
Totally. I mean, that's still a thing. I actually just did some yeast harvesting a couple days ago at my parents' place in the garden. So,
okay.
Yeah, and it's
so that's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, totally, for sure.
We do a beer, Saison du Palmer, that we actually use wild captured yeast from Palmer, mm-hmm. and so it's uniquely to Palmer. It's uniquely created. From Palmer, Alaska's very own
flora
yeast.
From the sky.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about you guys, that it's not, there's obviously passion and thought and character in all of the stuff that you do, whether that's the videos that you're putting on the social media or the naming of the beers or obviously the making of the beers. There's a lot of thought that goes into it, which is cool.
Every beer has its own like conception. Like there's a story. They are.
Yeah.
They are little creative, bubbly, tasty babies.
Ooh, tasty babies.
I thought, oh man, it's too late. Okay. I already said it.
That's great.
Yeah. Might as well hashtag that.
Right.
First time I'm not saying dumb stuff on air.
Well, on air.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So they do. They all have their own conception, their own, like where they have a story and a background and a reason. And so everyone has.
Is that all
heart.
Just in your
everyone
head?
Everyone has passion.
Do you put all that on like on your website or on a blog or something?
It's
the
all,
story behind the beers?
We're working on a website right now. We'll probably start doing. That's actually a good idea. We should do like a beer blog.
Yep. You should.
Story behind each beer sort
of
deal.
Once we have a website.
Yeah.
That's
our. I mean, even the notion that the name of the brewery came out of Stefan's heart being broken, there's a story there. And. You know, that's one thing that I have found in telling the story of Alaskan agriculture is when people aren't directly connected to something, they love to hear the story because then they can tell the story and make it about them. You know, I know these guys and I, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So storytelling is important.
For sure.
Yeah. Another just unfair question about the beer industry in Alaska as a whole. Do you have any of the statistics about the growth in the industry in the last, say, 10 years or 5 years? Like,
I could give you some very rough numbers.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
I don't have any statistics, but I mean, it's been growing, obviously, exponentially.
Yeah.
I think last year alone, we got 9 new breweries in the state.
Oh, wow.
This year, I think there's six.
Yeah, this year there's 6 more, yeah. I think.
If everything works out.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And then I think last I read, it's something ridiculous, like 1,700 new breweries a week in the United States.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And most of that stuff can be found on like the Brewers Guild website well.
Yeah.
Brewers Guild of Alaska. We're members of the Brewers Guild here in Alaska and also the Brewers Association nationally.
Okay.
And
Very good.
I mean, they send us like update facts every 6 months.
Yeah.
Just to say this is where the craft brewing industry is going.
Awesome. And so in terms of Bleeding Heart Brewery yourselves, what is your plan? What's your goal? What's your vision for 5 years from now? What do you hope the brewery looks like?
Out of the garage.
Okay.
That's the big one.
Maybe.
Hopefully. and into a larger garage, perhaps.
Okay.
And we toy with the idea of having food or not. But
you guys have food trucks.
We have food trucks,
right?
And we're looking to maybe still marry that open option for food, plus really good beer, decent beer, I guess.
It's all right.
Yeah.
And we're looking at toying with those ideas in the future, having a much larger system. Right now, we're the smallest production brewery in the state.
Nice.
With a 1-barrel operating system, which is only 30 gallons, while most commercial brewers are doing 300 gallons at a time.
Wow. Okay.
So that's another reason why our beers are so, like, why our specialties run out in 2 weeks. Why every one of our beers has a reason and a story is because we're so small, we're so passionate about what we're doing, that every beer has that heart, that passion, that drive.
It was pretty ridiculous. So down in Seward, it took us an hour and a half less than what my normal brew day takes, and we made 10 times the amount of beer.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like, oh, you got to be kidding.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
So once we grow to a larger system, the plan would be to use our new brewery as the epicenter for distribution, so actually start getting our beers here locally, and then perhaps
keep the tap room.
And then maybe, I don't know, maybe then we look at national distribution and maybe
I
move out of state and start getting the beer from here out there.
Awesome.
So, but definitely for now, we're going to stick with our size at least for another full year just to kind of continue to let our roots grow.
Yeah. So. Well, you guys are doing great work. You've made a beautiful mark on Palmer and, you know, having it right there in the Springer system right there next to the farm is also an incredible thing. So cheers to you both, and thank you for being in here with me this morning.
Absolutely. It was our pleasure. Thank you.
It's been fun talking about Bleeding Heart Brewery and how it connects to Alaska agriculture. I want to remind folks that this has been another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit. The show will rebroadcast on Friday at, 12:30. And you can find a link to the recording on our Facebook page and on the Radio Free Palmer website. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.